this is Shauna for the Iron Shauna audio only podcast, where we're cooking well using only ingredients on hand. This is the first session of the audio only podcast, and we have guests. The first one is Patrick Rost, who is a self-proclaimed electrician, troubleshooter, and refiner.
Hello.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Shauna. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being my first guest. I really appreciate having these conversations and getting more input outside of my own head.
Oh, sure.
And I understand you're interested in healthy foods that you can pack for lunches, for work, hiking, and especially not using refrigeration or microwaving. Is that right?
That's exactly right. I mean, I'm in the electrical trade at the moment, MBA from BGI notwithstanding. So I'm on a construction site and or a bus yard and or a storage facility. So none of those places have a refrigerator. You know, even running water is like a little bit of a hike, you know, maybe like quarter, half mile to, you know, wherever the plumbing is. And there's not a microwave either. And so I'm trying to think about, yeah, I've been taking sandwiches mostly because those are pretty hearty. Yogurt, if I eat it, you know, before noon, it seems to be okay. And so, like, that's part of it is, you know, something that's good for me that can last, you know, at least until lunchtime and maybe even for the sort of afternoon snack, you know, there's that lull where, hey, I really need to eat something that's good for me.
Got it. Well, it sounds like you have a good start with the sandwiches. I know that the other standby is salads, especially if they are of a more hearty variety, like a bean salad.
Oh, okay. I'm more familiar with the lettuce variety of salads, so that could be useful to learn about the other ones.
Yeah, and actually, speaking of lettuce salads, one of the trends that I've noticed recently is you make your salad in a mason jar, and if you store the layers in just the right way, so you put your dressing, the wet stuff at the bottom, and the lighter, the more dry stuff, the more precarious, fresh ingredients toward the top, that actually keeps it really well preserved, and all you have to do is shake it up just before you eat it.
Oh, wow, okay. That sounds very, like, hipster practical.
Hipster practical, I love that.
Right? I mean, because it's sort of trendy, you know, mason jar and all, and there's a very definite, it's totally utilitarian. I approve. I might even try that.
The trick with the mason jar, though, is you want to make sure that it's airtight, just to be clear on that.
And so is there a special precaution or process? Like, do you have to have, like, a vacuum sealer or something for that, or...
No, I think you just want to make sure it's just really tightly closed.
Okay.
And you can store it in a refrigerator the night before, especially if you're going to have it out with you out and about during the day. The basic rule is any food is going to start to go bad after about 4 hours.
Okay.
Especially if you've, like, rinsed it or cut it or done anything to it.
Right, you expose more of the innards or the cells to the elements. That can't be good.
Yep.
Okay. 4 hours. So I'm working 10 and 12 hour days.
Yeah, that's rough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of definitely exceeding that window.
Yeah.
So I've, you know, definitely done the sort of Cliff Bar, and, you know, the cheese sticks kind of get squirrely after about 6 hours has been my experience. Probably shouldn't have even gone that long. So do you have suggestions for that? Definitely that late afternoon, like seventh inning stretch of the workday.
Well, so nuts are pretty good, especially if you have them still in the shell and they're whole.
Okay.
They can go rancid as well. The things you want to look for is you can take it. So the first thing is the look. They start getting dark and shriveled and maybe even moldy, and hopefully you're not letting it go that long. One of the other tips is, you know, it might smell a little fishy, and then once you've shelled it, you just take a little nibble and make sure it doesn't taste sour or bitter, and those are the main ways you can tell if it's gone bad. But mostly, if you buy nuts still in their shell, they're fresh, they take longer to go rancid than, again, if you've, like, shelled them already or cut them up or ground them.
Okay. Yeah, that's, yeah. There was a phase where I think we had probably, you know, some packaged nuts handy. And it's like, I'm trying to get away from the packaging thing, but they were handy. And so maybe my farmer's market might have some nuts in shell, because that seems harder to come by in the supermarket.
I would agree. It does seem harder to come by. You might look in the bulk section as well, especially if you're concerned about packaging, because that way you can get more with less packaging.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Let's see. What else? So one of the other things I was thinking about, are you aware of the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen?
Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen, that sounds like either a record album or a movie, but I know it's neither because you're saying it in a food context, right? So no, I don't know about them.
Well, you know, everything has to be sort of in a catchy title or something that people remember, right?
Yeah, that's good branding right there. Don't remember it.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned BGI earlier, and I did want to spell out for people who may not know what that means. It's the Bainbridge Graduate Institute, and that's how Patrick and I know each other. We both have our MBA, our business degrees in sustainable systems. So where I was going with the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, it's particular when you're looking for organic produce, so fruits and vegetables, and you want to know, well, if I buy this and it's not organic, how bad is that going to be for me? Some people can't afford to buy everything organic.
Right, because it's expensive.
Right, yeah. Well, food in general has gotten super expensive, even if it's not organic. So there's a list of the Dirty Dozen of these are the ones that you absolutely want to buy organic no matter what.
Mm.
And then the Clean 15 are ones that they've done some tests, and by they, I'm not entirely certain who they all are, but it looks like maybe the Environmental Working Group and a few other, you know, powers that be scientists who know what they're talking about, they've done tests on these fruits and vegetables to see what's the difference in pesticides between organic and non-organic. And the Clean 15 have little to no there's little to no difference between the two.
And I'm sure you have all 27 of these items memorized, but since my memory isn't so good, is there a place online, I'm sure, where I could find them? I might write that down.
What's that?
I said I might write that down, if there is.
You might write that down? Well, I just Googled Clean 15.
And Dirty Dozen.
Dirty Dozen, and came up with, there's a PBS site, but it's all over the internet, frankly, if you have access to the internet, you know.
Yes.
Mother Earth Living has it, EWG.org has it, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, again, we're relying on the catchy branding. I'll look that up.
And I've even seen little laminated cards that you can stick in your wallet and carry around with you. They don't even have to be laminated, but when you're at the store and you can't remember, you can sort of pull it out of your wallet and go, oh, yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Right, because if I'm in, depending on the store, there may or may not be internet access. What about, unless you had something else at hand, I was going to ask about making my drinks more interesting. You know, I definitely am a coffee drinker, but I know I should be supplanting that with probably something that is not soda. And water just sounds so, like, that just sounds boring. And so I'm interested if you have any, you know, I've had, you know, cucumber water and lime water, and those are good. You know, can they stand up to the 10 and 12 hour workday? Or do you have other ideas?
I'm glad you actually mentioned lime, because lemon and lime have I'm not sure exactly the word I'm looking for here, but they actually help other, especially fruits, last longer. There's an acidity, I guess, that protects them. So the lime in your water is great. I mean, it adds flavor. It also is a bit of a preservative in and of itself, as is lemon, for example. A couple of things I used to play with in past summers, especially, I would make various teas with herbs in them. So one of my favorites one year is I would heat it up, ginger, mint together, make it ahead of time, and then put it, like, chill it or you could even leave it room temperature overnight, and then you still have the flavor regardless of the temperature.
Hmm.
And you could play around with other things like rosemary. I mean, I get a little adventurous where some people might not like those flavors.
Well, I'm not. I know ginger is like horrifically good for you. I'm not a fan.
Okay.
So, like, I might be willing to do the, you know, rosemary or sage, or, you know, like, if there are other things like that that could be useful in my water.
Mm-hmm.
Or as a tea. And like I said, I'm a sort of diehard coffee drinker, and so teas are, you know, that's going outside of my comfort zone already, but.
Well, and Chad recently did a video actually on cold brewed coffee. Have you ever tried that before?
No, but I've heard that that's like one of those, it's another one of those sort of up and coming trends, right? It's like a lot of people kind of swear by it.
Mm-hmm.
For the optimum flavor. You're not burning, you know, essential oil out of the coffee flavor or something like that. Is that kind of the principle?
Yeah, it plays with the acidity a little bit, and so it's a less harsh flavor. Some people may even compare it to, say, chocolate or caramel, depending on the grounds and how you make it. But basically, you're playing with making coffee without any heat, so you're just soaking the grounds in water overnight, and in the morning, you just filter it and go. And when you make it, you can make a particular ratio so that it's a concentrate, and that way you don't have to make it every single day. You can dilute it as needed, and it keeps for about a week or so.
I was going to say, because if you use heat, you know, in the coffee maker or the French press, you know, the grounds are good for about a day and a half, and then you're in trouble. But you can, the cold brew you can do for up to a week, meaning five, like a work week 5 days, or a week 7 days?
Well, personally, I've never tested it because I'm actually also a coffee fiend, so I tend to run out of it after about 2 or 3 days. You might try playing around with that yourself and see how long it lasts.
Okay. So, I'm still looking at cold brewed coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've gotten at least three things. Mason jar salads with the wet stuff on the bottom. A little recap, right? Make sure I'm remembering good things.
Yeah,
great. Sort of like liquidy, the dressing, the heavier, denser items, and then the lighter, more perishables on the top. You know, fridge it overnight, and then just shake it up when you're. Yeah, make sure all it's tightly closed. Shake it up and go. Clean 15 in the Dirty Dozen. I actually looked that up. I'm on MotherEarthLiving.com looking at that.
Good.
Kind of surprised by some of the items there, but definitely will look more into that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are lots more options than I thought, and I have to just wean myself off of soda now. It's just so convenient. It's right there in a can.
Uh-huh. It is, but it's also a lot of sugar and chemicals that can eat at your stomach, right?
Well, Cherry Zero doesn't have sugar. That's the one thing I can say that's good about it.
And that's the one you're hooked on, isn't it?
That's mine. I'm like, well, Dr. Pepper is better, but it has a lot of sugar, so I had to, you know, make a trade-off there.
Yeah. Well, and if you want to do store-bought, I've actually gotten quite addicted to what my friends and I affectionately call fizzy water, basically sparkling water. So it usually has no added sugar. It has some flavors if you want.
Like,
you know what I'm talking about, like Talking Rain or...
I'm thinking the one that I can think of and visualize immediately is the more like the Calistoga lemon lime kind of thing, or there's a berry one too, I think. I'm more of a still water drinker myself.
Still, okay.
Unfortunately, when you carbonate water, it's not soda, like I taste the carbonation and that tastes suspect to me.
Okay.
But hey, that's just me.
Yeah, well, everybody's different and it's a good thing we have options, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, no, thanks for the tips because, you know, like who's got time to look all this up?
Right.
I'm glad you do.
You know, and some of it is actually just looking it up and sort of remembering little things over time, right? So
mm-hmm.
It's not just one big research project at one go. you learn a little bit, and then you sort of incorporate that into your lifestyle, and then you move on to the next thing. So you don't make your big changes all at once.
And I have a lunchbox, like a lunch pail. It looks kind of like the traditional, like what you'd think of as the iconographic construction worker's lunchbox with the domed lid where the thermos goes. So I could actually have a mason jar, and if I dropped it, it would just break inside the lunchbox. So, like, I'm going to, like, really, I've got to round up a mason jar first, but I know my boss will be like, what the hell is that? when I show him the first time. I can see it now. He thought he had seen it all.
Well, maybe you can wrap the mason jar in a towel to give it a little bit of a buffer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have enough room in the box inside for that, but at least that'll help. I can't help you with the looks from your boss.
he'll just shake his head like he always does when he's, you know, looking at something that I'm doing. So it'll just be the business as usual.
Okay. Well, and again, these are things you want to also, I mean, part of my program, the big focus of my program is using what you have on hand. So hopefully these are things that are easy for you to plan for as opposed to making a single trip for every single, like the mason jar by itself or the, you know, each of the things that you're preparing for your lunches.
Right. I mean, the mason jar, we're not big, you know, preserves folks, so that I don't have, but... We do generally have the salad fixings. I know where to get good spices for teas. So, yeah, there may have to be sort of like a ramping up into, you know, healthier eating. But that's, I kind of expected that. Okay.
Okay.
teleportation has not been perfected. I'm not expecting to just open my fridge and see everything that I need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but you might have friends who have an herb garden, and once you sort of pay attention to those various sources, then it might become easier to incorporate small changes like using the herbs to make a different drink for yourself, or when you're at the store looking for other things, again, keeping the clean 15 and the dirty dozen in mind, and, you know, going for those heartier skinned fruits and vegetables that might last you longer throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like oranges sound better than pears.
Correct.
Yeah. Wow, I did, I guess I know what I was going to say, just thinking about, you know, fruits.
Yep.
You know, I'm thinking of, you know, hey, I've had the Clif Bar thing in the afternoon, and that those are kind of sweet. Uh-huh. And, you know, like, okay, I've had my lunch, you know, like, what's for dessert? You know, like, fruit is an obvious, you know, banana is, it's not too bad for you, potassium's good and that kind of thing. They seem to hold up fairly well.
Yep.
Other dessert ideas?
Other dessert ideas. I mean, if you are able to, like if you have a pocket knife or something with you and you have your piece of fruit, maybe, you know, mix it with a little bit of honey if you want something sweeter than a piece of fruit.
Uh-huh.
And again, using the lemon or lime as both a flavoring and kind of a preservative, that could add a little twist. I like to dump a little bit of cinnamon on or nutmeg on some of my sweeter desserts just to give it an extra little twist.
Oh, okay. We've definitely got cinnamon and nutmeg.
Yay.
And honey. Raw honey made here in Oakland. Or I'm in Alameda, so you know, right next door in Oakland.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I've found that's really good is there's a Greek yogurt craze going on, and I was sort of like, now what is this nonsense fad? And then I actually had some, and I had, you know, I've tried few different ones, and I'm like, wow, that's really kind of thick and not what I'm so used to the sort of Dan and Yoplait, like overly sweet concept of yogurt, and so there's a little bit of a cult shock there, but there's one that has like the yogurt and then there's a honey cache that you like, when you take the lid off, you can like spoon the honey into the yogurt.
Yep.
And that's some good eating right there. that sounds like when they're talking about ambrosia, that maybe that was it.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree. I had probably the same reaction you did about Greek yogurt going into it. And I also think that the more you get used to eating in a more healthy fashion, the more your taste buds actually change to appreciate those a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Like when you don't. I mean, other than the Clif Bars and an occasional donut, I'm generally eating a lot less sweet than when I was in school and then that 4 to 6 months right after.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, I've definitely noticed my enjoying more savory tastes and not like, oh, I have to have, you know, a Clif Bar every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here to validate your statement.
Thank you.
Well,
yeah, mine is more towards like mayonnaise and creamy dressings. Like I find that I lose the taste for it the less I eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Those sort of store-bought things that have a lot of extra salts and sugars and chemicals in them. If I have to have them, I will often make them at home, actually make my own, which then they taste better and I don't need as much of it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we finally, after living here for, 2 years, walked down to the, it is embarrassing, but I'm going to say it on the podcast anyway, like 2 blocks from our house, maybe 3, there was a farmer's market every Saturday and every Tuesday. And, you know, maybe a couple months ago now, we actually said on a Saturday, hey, let's go try that out. And we had almonds that had been soaked in water and then, you know, dried lightly in the oven versus whatever the prepackaged ones are doing.
Uh-huh.
And we were just blown away by, wow, these are so tasty. This is what an almond should really be tasting like. Like, what's going on in the store?
Uh-huh.
Why isn't this what food is supposed to taste like? So, yes, you know, making things at home, like, we're slowly getting there.
Yeah.
Very slow, glacially. So,
well, hopefully that means that once we develop the habits, it will be slow to lose them, right?
Yes. Yeah, no, this is definitely, you've been really helpful. And just because I'm thinking, you know, even just looking at those, the Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 lists, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know those things exist. Why haven't I been eating them? You know, well, it was winter, so like some of the fruits weren't around or whatever. But
so one last thing. I'm glad you brought up the nuts, actually. I do have a list of the top 5 of how quickly they go rancid and sort of the top 5 in order of slowest to fastest. So the first ones on the list are actually the best or the longest lasting.
I should get my notepad.
Your notepad. Are you ready? Are you taking notes? We're back in class again.
Yeah, you know, I've actually been working on taking fewer notes in my life in general.
Okay.
Because someone at school called me, a couple different times people called me on, hey, you're not really participating. You're just taking notes in the corner. What are you adding to the conversation? Like, oh, caught me. So, no, I haven't been. I've been asking you things like, oh, I'll write that down.
Uh-huh.
And that's been when I've been writing things down. So the nuts sound like I might write that down.
Okay. So let me know when you're ready.
I am ready.
Awesome. So I realize that the order of these may not correlate with how expensive or reasonably priced they are, so keep that in mind,
too.
Or even
my enjoyment of them.
Oh, well, there's that as well. So then the number one is hazelnuts. They apparently last the longest, followed by cashews.
Mm-hmm.
And pistachios.
Ooh, yum.
I thought you might like those. And thankfully, the last two are almonds and peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And peanuts, I understand, you know, a lot of people are kind of sensitive to them, so I don't know if you have an allergy or intolerance to them at all, but almonds are usually my favorite, frankly.
As far as I'm aware, I'm allergic to none of these. And, you know, like, while I enjoy cashews immensely, they can be a little spendy. So the pistachios, right on, almonds, right on, and I'll have to reintroduce myself to the hazelnut because I don't like hazelnut coffee, but I'm trying to remember the last time I just had a hazelnut by itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have to investigate that. And these are, you know, peanuts will spoil the soonest, and likewise, and
yeah,
at the list. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I just took the top 5. I think there's a list out there of a lot more of them, but it's just easy, like you said, catchy to take the top of the cream of the crop, as it were.
Well, you know, the brain, there's a, if you look out there, and if I look in my paperwork from college, there's actually a cool article about how the brain remembers things in groups of seven plus or minus two. So depending on what the items are, if they're numbers versus, you know, physical, you know, toothpicks or something, you know, 5 to 9 is kind of the number of things the brain is really good at remembering.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I'll have to look for that article, or you can probably find it online. Ought to be at least 25 years old now.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. I've heard that through various sources as well. So, well, I believe that brings us to our time for this podcast. Thank you so much. This has been like a great conversation, and I'm actually learning and discovering through you as well. So I hope that we're helping each other here, co-learning, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a joy, and I was a little apprehensive. I'm like, oh, I didn't prepare anything per se, but this was great and fun. Laughter is always good. Learning is better.
Yep.
May you have great listenership and success in the podcast going forward.
Thank you so much. And I think I will probably carry the podcast sunglass mechanism into future episodes. I love this. So
yes.
We were checking in personally before this, and then we decided to put on our podcast sunglasses. So we've both been wearing sunglasses throughout this whole conversation.
We have. So I guess now is the cue to take the sunglasses off.
Yeah, especially if you're bumping into things, you know.
No, I've been decided, you know, hey, the sun is setting, I'm just going to sit, you know, on the couch and, you know, not bump into things.
Oh, okay, great.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. And for everyone listening in, we'll see you next time.